All right, we got a fun show here in the club today. We have an underdog NBA shark in our midst. He's going to be joining us. You know him as In Pomlaney from the Underdog Streets. Will be fun to hear about his recent exploits and a couple first place finishes last week. We'll dig into that. We'll also do an early week 11 NFL peak here, as we are wont to do. It's the club. Let's go. All right, we got Andy, we got Clay, and of course we got Nick joining us. Now, Nick, did we beat the Badge Bros to getting you on a stream here, or have you done the Badge Bros?
No, I have not. I have not been on the Badge Bros. This is the first stream of anything I've ever done. So
look at that. You could get our sloppy seconds, Badge Bros. We're getting the scoop here. So yeah, you what were the two tournaments that you won last week or got first in?
I got first in two of the main dailies for NBA. So I think it was like Wednesday and Friday or Thursday or something. I kind of forgot. It was a blur.
Nice. Well, congrats. It does seem like that it, you know, there's been a lot of people in the Discord, Badge Bros, who win in waves. Like the heater element definitely seems very real. We've seen copper prices in NFL been on an absolute heater. I feel like there's guys and it's like a rolling kind of cyclical thing. Do you feel really dialed in right now, or is it just truly random that you were able to go back to back like that?
Yeah, if you ever feel really dialed in, that's when you like lose all of your money for sure. So like I just float around being totally undialed in, and that's yeah. usually a good spot to be.
I've been dialed in for years, you know.
Yeah.
Clay's so dialed in. That's his biggest issue, honestly, is you're too dialed in, Clay.
Yeah. Well, we always like joke in the Deposit Kingdom Discord that like if you ever like finish entering for the day and you're like, oh wow, I love my lineups, like I really haven't figured out today, like, you don't stand a chance. Like there's absolutely no way that you're winning money that day.
Yeah. So how long have you been playing on Underdog, Nick? I know you primarily focus on NBA. Like, what has your play been like over the past couple of years?
Yeah. So I started really, I did like, a bunch of best ball drafts last year. That was like where I started on Underdog, and, that did not go well. NFL is really hard. So then when the regular season started, I ended up getting a win in an NFL single game contest really early in the year last year. So I got first on when they were still doing the single games. So then I randomly had like bankroll on Underdog. So I like NBA a lot more. So I started playing NBA. And back in the day, I used to play on like FanDuel and DraftKings just like here and there. But the draft format was, you know, pretty interesting. And then found like early success on NBA and kind of just stuck with it from there. So probably like October last year is when I started.
Nice. And I assume you've started to ramp up your play this year relative to in previous seasons?
Yeah. I mean, I started playing a lot more. I didn't max enter a contest in NBA last year until like the playoffs started, because then the year was kind of winding down. I was like, all right, I should try to max enter these. So then this year going to it, I was like, all right, I'm going to be a max enter guy. I'm going to get there this year. And I still haven't max entered a slate this year yet.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just mostly because, like, I mean, we talk about it in Discord a lot, but, like, I don't auto-draft pretty much at all. So, you know, trying to manually draft 150 every day is super hard. So if somebody can do it, that's impressive, but I haven't been able to.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how anyone could do it.
Yeah, and, like, I can't get there myself. So, like, you know, I try to get, like, over 120 if I can, but that's usually, like, where I float around, kind of getting right to, like, 120, 130, so.
Where do you
and
fall?
You're drafting like all day too, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, because I see you on because I get up and draft early in the morning, and you're like Badge, who I see every day early in the morning drafting with me.
Yeah, that's like kind of the only way that I can get that many in, honestly, with the manually drafting is, you know, I do like 30 the night before, then I wake up and I do like 20 to 25. And then throughout the day, if I get like, you know, 10, 15 minutes, I'll throw in like five, and then I do them in like chunks throughout the day to try to get as many as I can.
So are you, Have you heard Andy talk about his process, or I'm sure you've seen in the Discord? It sounds like you're approaching it slightly different. You got some more calluses on your fingers from the hand building elements.
Yeah. I mean, auto drafting totally works. I think you can totally do that. I personally have not done any better by auto drafting, except for, I think, playoff contests last year or like the smaller slates. For me, I think that auto drafting is a little bit better just because there's a lot less players. But whenever I try to auto draft on a bigger slate, I always end up with, you know, crazy heavy exposures, which is not really my play style. I'm pretty flat with my exposures usually. So I like to be able to manually manipulate each draft. And then I like to play with the draft room a lot too. That's kind of where I mainly focus my brain power, is I let other people do the projections and rankings. And then I apply that to the actual draft room based on what other people are doing based on ADP. So that's how I generally function in the draft.
And do you think there is maybe now, because there, it does seem like a lot of people, and because of Andy kind of talking about it and the autoing and stuff, it seems like it's more prevalent now in NBA. Do you think that is an advantage for you if more and more people are doing it that way?
I think it can be either way. I mean, I think if you're the best at projections, if you're really good at projections, then sure, you putting in your projections, if you're better than everybody else, I think that's a totally viable way to play any slate, obviously. But I think that if you're not the best at projections, or if you're using universal projections, then you don't really have as much of an advantage unless you're taking advantage of an individual draft room. And so that's where I stand. I'm not like a projections guy. I'm really more about trying to get ahead of projections before they come out, because obviously we know like ETR super moves the lines for every ADP. And so a lot of my focus is in the morning trying to project what ETR will do with their rankings. That way I can get ahead of those guys going up. And then later in the day, you kind of shift your focus away from that to build teams not contrarian to what ETR is doing, but maybe contrarian to where the ADPs are now slipping for guys that they projected lower than the ADP is currently at. And then, you know, that like kind of that pendulum between the morning and the day, the night. So that's kind of where I float around.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, there's like tons of closing line ADP value that you can get on either side. And especially because on any bigger slate, like the difference between ETR having a guy ranked fifth and ranked 20th is like not that many points. And like, you know, having someone ranked fifth overall or 20th overall is massively different in like an underdog draft. And so I think that people can sometimes get like a little bit too caught up in that. And like, care a little bit too much about any one particular rankings versus just like trying to get really good value at any given time. And I do think that's one thing, like you were saying, with playing an individual draft room that like I definitely do miss, because like I remember when I was manually drafting, there are times where you're in a room and you're like, oh, none of these people just took this Q tag player, so now I'm going to push the next Q tag player and see if I can get them too. And there's like little things like that that you definitely miss out on a little bit when you're auto drafting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's definitely the
point. Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're good. Go.
No, I was going to ask, like, are you mostly like IKBing before like those projections come in? Or are you using like other projection sources ahead of time?
Used to make my own, but then I'm like, I'm not that good at this. So I figured it really didn't help me that much. And so for the beginning portion of the day and the night before, it's mostly IKB, but in a way where it's ETR or, you know, what other projection services they use, like it's not too difficult to imagine what they're going to do with some players based on what they've done in the past. So it's easy to see how, like, you know, the night before, if you're drafting, if you haven't made your rankings and you see a player's rate, like ADP is super low, and you know that, you know, ETR typically would rate them high because of their production, but maybe their box scores are low lately. That's a good guy to get because he's almost certainly going to move up, but he's only so low because the projection on underdog had him slated as pretty low and he hasn't performed well lately. So it's definitely like an IKB for like that portion of the day based on, and plus underdog ADP can be really efficient. Some days it's really bad, but you know, generally you can kind of take advantage of that, especially early on, because they'll move pretty quickly too.
Nice. Andy, does it? I assume that the ETR ranks just have such a bigger pull on NBA than NFL, just because of like the size, because there were some ones last week where ETR was way ahead of market and the ADPs like never budge, you know, like they had Lockett ahead of Metcalf and there was a gap between those guys the entire week that never closed. It must just be the volume of drafts that keep that a little stickier, would you think?
I think it's like a bit of volume, and I think probably at least a little bit it's that there's like so much less correlation. Like the NBA stuff I feel like is even more so how many points am I projecting this guy for, and like, and less so upside or matchup dependent and all these other kind of variables that I feel like football does kind of come into play, where like with Metcalf and Lockett, like Metcalf is just like a way sexier GPP pick in a lot of, for a lot of people. I mean, I love drafting Tyler Lockett, but whereas I don't know, with basketball, I feel like you don't quite get that. And there's just like, to a certain extent, there's this understanding of how basketball projections work, which is like how many fantasy points per minute does a guy score and how many minutes are they going to play? And then like, how are we going to massage those based on their point total or the pace or something? And it's, I think it's a little bit more accepted of like, this is how they project versus like, this is how these particular people think that they should project based on routes and target share and all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I think probably it's a bit of like draft room size, like overall, like lobby size, people not wanting to do their own projections because it's daily and it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then just like the way the NBA projections work, but I'm not sure.
So what kind of time, Nick, if you're manually doing those and you're still getting pretty good volume in, I mean, that's a pretty big time commitment. I mean, I did 120 battle royales for last week's slate for NFL, but that was spread out over the course of like 5 or 6 days. And even that felt like a bit of a lift. How are you getting in this kind of volume? And hopefully your employer isn't listening.
Yeah. Hopefully not. I work from home, so, you know, don't tell them on the clock. Now, I basically do like typically like 5 drafts at once, like somewhere between 3 and 5. So that definitely helps, you know, because if you're doing 5 at one time for like, yeah, 20 minutes, you could probably get in like 20, 25 drafts if you got time. So that's kind of like how I try to do it in those like chunks. And then typically I just realize I'm not caught up enough on volume. And then 10 minutes before lock, I'll do like 35 drafts at one time and totally mess them all up. But that's kind of how I get to that last little bit of volume. But yeah. And then obviously I think doing a good chunk the night before, and then, you know, in the morning when I go on a run or something like that, I'll try to do like a bunch, and like only Andy's the only one in the room. But so I'll have like typically like maybe like 50 to 60 to done before it's even like 9 o'clock.
Do you find, because Andy, I know you were saying like the way you do stuff with like re-uploading ranks to kind of balance your exposures, if you're getting like an uncomfortable amount, like Nick, do you find yourself manually calibrating your exposures or kind of checking in? Do you have like targets you're trying to hit, or do you just kind of let the chips, you know, fall where they may?
Like I said, I'm pretty like flat exposure. I don't really, and that probably, I mean, I probably don't necessarily need to do as much. That had more to do with starting out because I didn't want to like, you know, lose all of my money right away. And so I still kind of just carry that over because it's worked and I don't really want to change it. So I just typically try to keep my exposures, unless I'm super into one guy, not super high, like under 30%. Honestly, I don't really go over that threshold too much. And when I do, it's Derek White last night and he has 9 points. So, you know, I guess that's why I don't do that.
Yeah, I feel like we're pretty similar in that sense.
Yeah, like, you have to adjust them too, because otherwise you're going to end up with the same combinations too. So if you have the same ranks and you need to, if you don't adjust them, you're going to end up with the same sort of, you know, if you get Embiid, then you get this guy and then you get this guy. And if you don't change it, you'll end up with that a lot.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point now that we have that extension that like pulls all of your lineups, I'm like adjusting my rankings every like 15 drafts or so and just kind of mixing things up pretty consistently. And my newest thing that I'm doing as of like a couple of days ago is I'm manually adjusting people based on my exposure to them to where it's like almost impossible for me to get more than like 30% of a player unless like I think that their ADP is just like totally incorrect. Cause like a lot of like what you were saying, I just don't know how valuable it is. Like, it's fun to be the guy who has seven teams in the top 20 or whatever. But I don't know how valuable, like, how viable that strategy, I guess, is long term versus just like trusting that ADP is somewhat efficient. And if you just take all the different combos of the top 36 or 40 players every night, you're probably going to hit every once in a while and not bleed out in the meantime.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking, Brian Hooper, who I do lulls with, made a comment to that extent, not in this specific example, so maybe it's not quite apples to apples, but talking about that idea of being like super heavily concentrated on a core, and then you're the guy that has like seven, like you just said, and like the top 10 he was talking about on DraftKings. But he was saying like that's not what he think is an optimal way to like approach tournaments, and that your portfolio should be more like polarized in a way where if one lineup's doing bad, it's actually vaulting up like another lineup in a way. Like say you have like Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane, and you're kind of like splitting your exposures there, and there's a negative correlation. So that is interesting too, that like, I know a lot of people like the heavy, you know, condensed, you know, exposures for a slate, but it seems like a lot of smart people say it's better to kind of maybe leverage your portfolio in other ways.
Yeah, I mean, if you, it also depends on, I guess, how much money you want to lose on any given day. Because
true,
I just, your risk tolerance. Yeah. Me, so, you know, at the end of the day, it's like this started as something that was super fun for me to do, and it still is. And so, which is cool if you can make money off of that. But I don't really feel like being the guy who has 80% of a guy who sprains his ankle in the second quarter, and then that just doesn't sound fun to me. So I won't do that.
Did you what say that you were running on? And drafting earlier, by the way? Was that a little
cardio
club?
I do do that. Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's when I'm trying to really get going. I'm like doing this on my phone. That those are a little bit more auto drafty than the others. It's more just making sure something doesn't go crazy.
I love it.
That's
love
funny. It. Maybe we got to get a hoops cardio club going on here.
No, I'll just be a bunch of people mass entering and then running and then me doing this.
Andy just watching his picks go. Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
Ball, like, ball, bring it back, baby.
Yeah, while my drafts are running, normally I'll like have them open on a screen and just be like clicking through. Because I still try to, you know, if I click on a draft and I have Zion and I know my next pick is going to be Brandon Ingram and there's someone else who I rank basically the same, I will, you know, swap the rankings and be like, let's not stack the only two players who are like negatively correlated that I could take here or something like that. And so I try to like pay attention to that stuff here and there. I probably watch a decent amount of my drafts that happen. I just am not actively participating in them.
Yeah. It's a good way to remove biases too, for sure. When I was doing my Battle Royale volume this week, I was like sketching out more like, I want this stack, you know, these are going to be my final three picks, and then kind of letting it be automated at the top, but then knowing like, these are the three I'm going to get. And like, cause I know sometimes when I don't do that, you get distracted and you're like, oh, well, there's this guy here. And then it's like, well, no, I went into this wanting to grab, you know, this stack and try to get exposure to that. So that's always an interesting wrinkle. Nick, do you sweat the games? Are you watching these all night after you get your action in, or do you just wake up and see what it is?
So I typically do sweat for sure. But then the other day when I ended up coming in first, and I believe that was the day where Andy, I think you ended up coming in third, which was like the super sweaty Sabonis day. I did fall asleep that night, and that was the night I won 10K. So that was cool. But typically I sweat. Yeah, I'm always watching the NBA. So
what do you do for work?
I work in safety and compliance.
Okay. Very different.
And not related.
Yeah. I saw Nez in here mentioning, and I saw a bunch of people freaking out about this the other day. And can you guys fill in for listeners? What was the Markelle Fultz situation? Why were people saying this is like the worst that NBA reporting has been with some of these game day scratches? Clay, maybe you can take this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's been, I would say, already more this season than I remember even last season of late scratch happening post lock, which is more painful on redacted sites than it is on Underdog. Fortunately, I had it happen a couple slates back, and like luckily you can still swap that player because if they're truly ruled out post lock, Underdog is kind enough to allow us to have some swap options. But I happen to play that same player in a redacted lineup, and that did not get swapped, and that was unfortunate because the lineup was pretty good otherwise. So it's bad. It is really bad, and I think it's something that the NBA definitely needs to fix. because it impacts, you know, everything. And if they want to lean into, you know, the betting arena, which they seem to do from partnerships and such. Yeah, I agree with that too. You got to sweat it out if you're playing and maxing in that case. But yeah, I mean, luckily, like, the swaps on Underdog are the saving grace here. So it's not quite as painful. But it was a smaller slate where that happened, so you don't have as many options as like last night or tonight, where you have, you know, plenty more swap options here.
Andy, any other questions, macro stuff for Nick before maybe we dig in a little bit to this slate? I know we got a lot of stuff going. Numi letting us know layup line after dark is up here. What do you got for him, Andy?
Thank you, Numi. I told him that if he released a juicy one today, I would max enter it. That was my promise to him. So I owe him after this. I'll be setting up my robots. I guess, how do you think about, and this is probably something that I am pretty bad at, do you feel like you approach different game, like number of games in contests differently? Like if there's a like 12 game night versus a 7 game night versus a 4 game night, do you think that you have like different mentalities for those, or generally kind of just draft the best players?
No, I mean, I think always draft the best players is the smartest thing you can do. But I think on bigger slates, what I typically would do as opposed to a smaller slate is a bigger slate. There's just so many different options for a guy who can score, I don't know, like somewhere between 40 and 45 and be in your winning lineup. So for the bigger slates, I think that especially in the later rounds, there's always the scroll down idea. But I think it's more about those guys you get in later rounds. I don't think in rounds like 5 and 6, you should be really super heavy on a lot of guys, typically on the bigger slates, just because you're always going to have different options from that pool that are projected almost exactly the same. So splitting up those options and letting your first 3 round picks, which are always going to be more like locks, they can still fail, but they're more projectable and more concrete in getting higher scores. So I really like to mix up my later round guys on the bigger slate. And then on the smaller slate, I kind of do the opposite, where I'd rather go heavier on the specific guys in the later rounds that I think have the ability to score more points, as opposed to a baseline, you know, a guy who's projected for like 27 on a 3-game slate in the last round versus, you know, someone who has a much higher ceiling, like a center who can get a lot of stocks, or a different player who can do something like that. So in that, I kind of flip it. So I like to get heavier in the later rounds for the smaller slates and condense that a little bit on the guys that I think have a higher opportunity to hit a ceiling.
Do either of you guys find yourself, or Andy, with like your autos, like on smaller slates, like stacking up teams or games more than on the larger slates? I mean, in some respects, it kind of goes without saying, but I've found like on the smaller slates, like a 4-gamer or something, like leaning in and having like 5 of 6, you know, picks coming from the same game can work in a lot of occurrences. But I don't know if you guys have found success with that or have found that to be more of a thing that happens for you across.
It definitely happens. I would say I relatively actively try to not do it, just because in my head there's some amount of negative correlation unless they go to overtime, and I don't like taking the bet of like, oh, what if this game goes to overtime? That's not like a super exciting bet for me. But for the most part, I just kind of try not to care too much. Like sometimes you get 5 guys on the same team and you're like, oh, you know, that's probably not going to be the lineup for me. But sometimes it happens and I just kind of move on.
Yeah. I don't consider it like a ton, honestly. I think about it on the smaller slates. If the Bucks are playing on a smaller slate and like Giannis isn't in, then I'm probably just trying to get $1 billion. So I think that's like the one case where it differs, where you'd say like, hey, if a star player on a team on a smaller slate is out, then I don't mind having a ton of those guys because I think their baseline just goes up a lot higher. But other than that, yeah, I don't think about it a ton.
I think injury news is like probably the most important part there. Like I wasn't going to play last night, and then I hopped in kind of after the Raptors news broke and just jammed. I just got like the way my draft like went, I just stacked up like a lot of the top Raptors options, got both like Kuzma and I think Poole as well, and was like, all right, well, I'm just going all in on this game. And other than Schroeder dudding, it would have looked really nicely. I was sitting like top 6 until the late game hit, and then the Fox and Sabonis teams came running of the board. But it's just something I've been like a little bit more intrigued by, because I think there is some viability in the smaller slates if you find the right spot and the injury news breaks the right way. But it's obviously so subjective to slate by slate and news by news basis, I think, too.
Nick, if you had a piece of advice for someone who maybe dabbles in drafting an underdog, they're looking to ramp it up a bit, they're not going to go the full automated ranks process, what kind of recommendations or tips would you give to them?
Well, I would say there's two things. Now there's a bunch of contests, so you have lots of options. So if you're going to play, you might as well play in the ones that have like a 5 max or a 20 max, because that's just a lot easier than going against the automated robots versus like 150. So definitely start there. And then other than that, I think if you're going to do it, there's no issue with like sprinkling your drafts throughout the day to try to get different ADPs. If you're not super locked in, and if you're not paying for projections, or even if you are, you know, you should just try to factor in the times that you're drafting, because the ADPs are going to change, and then you're naturally going to get different builds without really having to, you know, think about it as much if you draft throughout the day. You know, if you only want to throw in like 5 to 10 or something, just split them up. That way, otherwise you're drafting the exact same ADP, probably versus the same people. So I would say those are definitely mix it up a little bit throughout the day.
I got another question for Nick before we head into the slate tonight, but are there any particular like players, teams that you've been leaning into a little extra like so far this season that have been kind of like, you know, quote unquote, your guys or your spots that you're looking to on a given slate?
Yeah, I mean, I was really into Scotty Barnes to start the year, which definitely helped like with the early success, just because their, you know, team dynamic changed. And I guess that's like another thing to factor in. Yeah. So it's like they got rid of Fred Van Fleet, and I was like, hey, Scotty Barnes totally is going to run this like point kind of forward thing a little bit. And so early on in the year, projections were still kind of basing that off of previous performance, but the reality was that his role was entirely different than it was last year. So that super helped. And then Tyrese Maxey's the best player on the planet Earth. So just, I think recency bias is definitely a thing, but I think it could go both ways. And I think sometimes it's totally a viable way to take advantage of something. Like if some player is on is playing very well in that moment, for whatever reason, maybe his team dynamic shifted, or maybe he's just playing at a different level, I think there's no reason that you can't factor that in. And so like, you know, someone like Maxey, who is, you know, due for regression a little bit, but you know, if you jumped in on him after he had his first two games, it's like he's done it like 4 times in a row still. So, or Scotty Barnes too. So those were the
two guys. Preseason guy with that Scotty Barnes take. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that's interesting going into now. So like I just for fun to kind of follow along, like all of my projections that I do, which again, like I'm certainly not like an expert basketball projector by any means. I'm only using stats from this season, and like all of the other sites are using probably mostly last season still. And so it's interesting to see like where there are very large discrepancies of like this player projecting only based on stats from this season is projecting very differently from how all these other sites are projecting them. And, you know, sometimes what that means is like a small sample size doesn't matter, ignore it. And sometimes like Nick saying, you can kind of be like, you know, I think this like actually is something that's different. And that's where actually watching the games is really helpful too, because you can have a little bit more context.
So let's set the table a little bit for this slate. First of all, someone tell me what this in-season tournament is. Does it have any significance?
Yes. I did some research on the in-season tournament. I mean, it's all
okay. School me.
Significance is, you know, in air quotes here for real. I mean, the champions get, you know, 500K a pop on the team. That's really the added incentive here. And it's only Tuesday and Friday night games that are in the in-season tournament. The games do count for regular season wins and losses, except for once they get to like the final round or two, and then those do not, which is a little strange. And you can tell which games are the in-season tournament games because the teams have special jerseys and courts, aside from one team, which I can't remember whose court was delayed, and they're now using their City Edition court. But tonight, yeah, I think all these games, or most of the games, are in-season tournament games, or IST, as the industry likes to call it.
And, I mean, what do we, how many games do we have on this slate tonight?
I think 10.
10?
Tonight.
What do we,
Matthew Moore, maybe 12.
How do you guys feel about maybe hopping in? I see we got the heat check here, the winner take all. We can avoid some of the max enterers here. What do we think?
Yeah, let's do it. I have no more entries for anything left for the day, so I'll be watching.
Okay, you could be my guide here, Nick. Either feel free to draft with me or against us if you want to hop in. Either way is good.
No, I'll just help you guys out. Hang out.
Perfect. Look at that.
Do you draft differently at all, Nick, for different contest sizes?
Not really.
Me either.
Yeah, I think that there is a way to explain it that would make sense, you know? Like, oh, it's a smaller field, so you don't have to go as crazy. But I'm like, I don't really go. I'm not scrolling down super far in the regular tournament either, so it doesn't
really
do much.
Yeah, I feel like there's a subsection of people who the majority of their strategies like let your uniqueness come from like ADP value and other people reaching and stuff. And I think we're both kind of generally in that camp for the most part. No,
I think it's the rule, easiest way to do it.
The rule for the heat check is you can only draft players who actually would go and shoot for a heat check. You got to have the ceiling upside.
Also, shout out to the gamer who's in here. Who,
yeah,
while he's so he cryptically while he's winning the million this past Sunday, just messages in the basketball chat in Discord. I'm gonna be it's been fun playing with you guys, but I'm gonna be retiring. And here he is grinding the heat check on the Tuesday evening.
For people who didn't see, Short Gamer TV won one of the two Millionaire Maker contests on DraftKings this week. Also took first place in the SPY for $100,000. And now just back out here grinding. But what a weekend for Short Gamer TV.
He's definitely not dialed in. That's for sure.
He's one of the guys. He drafts very differently from Nick and I. He's had one night where he had like duped himself like seven times and was in like first through seventh or something like that. Ended up not working out that night for him. I'm sure he was fine, but he didn't win. But he's someone who will just set his ranks and auto draft.
SGA.
Is this clear, SGA?
I think it's really, it can go either way, SGA or AD. I was taking SGA over AD all day. But I think you could definitely make the case the other way as well. ETR has them basically ranked exactly the same.
Nick, what side are you on?
I like SGA. I mean, LeBron might play, and then, you know, you might as well take SGA versus Spurs. I like
that. LeBron's in. He did shoot around.
Yeah, so I think – I mean, I don't think that retracts from AD's worth, but might as well just take the ADP.
Yeah.
The reason I liked SGA more so today is that my most owned player is LeBron. And so I'd rather have a little more SGA and more LeBron than LeBron and AD really high in my ownership. Yeah. Shout out to Chip. If I won the milli, I'd be in jail right now.
So we got Davis does go the pick right after us. And then we see Maxi and Bam go. Chipsy takes Halliburton. Who do we like now?
I'm a ball guy here, but I also draft ball every time, and it's worked out lately, but, you know, it's also very painful.
I'm also a ball guy here.
Clay, you know ball?
I think it's close.
No, I mean, I don't like the Miami matchup if we're going to get in the weeds on that, but I guess, like, matchups don't matter. I'm an Ant guy, but, yeah, go ball. Like,
yeah, so
I'm not going to go against these two. I mean, these are the experts out here.
My concern with Anthony Edwards tonight is just that Steph Curry's not playing. I think the Warriors might score 80 points against the Timberwolves defense. Points, man.
That's definitely where
Wiggins can't get over 10. Clay's playing not great either. He might not get over 10. They better have Draymond go for 30, but I just think Ant wants to put it on Draymond's head. Like, the trash talking from this past week has been sensational. I love these clips of him in the offseason being like the one team that he cares about playing is Golden State, and it's because of like Draymond shit talking. So I'm all in. I mean, he has me wanting to buy a pair of Adidas sneakers for like the first time in forever. So I'm hook, line, and sinkered for my guy. I'm about to go get a.
I saw that clip. I think Jennings posted it the other night of that baseline dunk he had. Man,
he's fun.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's my new favorite player in a post prime LeBron era. That's my my feels on it.
I like it. All right, so we've started this team with Shea and LaMelo.
Wow, LeBron going at 12 now. This is one of those times where I'm glad I drafted early, even though I have like 25% Trae Young, who's not playing today. But LeBron, like most of my LeBron shares, I got him in the 20s. And so it's like crazy to see him going so high now.
Shout out Trae, had a baby.
Yeah. Trae Young. See, I was banking on a
baby narrative. Yeah.
I think this is a pretty clear Lowry Markkanen.
Lowry. It's a solid game environment.
All right, let's do it.
We'll see.
Pete, I'll send you $5 so we can split the 8K.
Okay.
even though we took Paul
over Anthony Edwards, Clay, you still want in?
I mean, I might go to the game tonight. Who knows? We got a home matchup.
I will say Anthony Edwards going at 14 is a bit crazy. If I could choose between Ball at 9 or Edwards at 14, I would take Edwards. This is one of those funny things though, where it's like he took Bain at 11 and Edwards at 14, and you could just totally flip those, and then it's a completely normal draft. And so it's like not even unique that he got Edwards at 14 because of Bain at 11, and that's where I think that there's a lot of value, or like there's like a good case we made to just draft ADP value where he could have had a much more unique potentially. Honestly, he couldn't have even really because of how things have shaped.
11 is a little wild to me. Over to Johnson.
He's good.
He's good, but I don't know.
Well, wasn't Ant was he the highest ADP on the board when we picked LaMelo, and then he just fell four or five picks after that?
Yeah.
I would say most of the day, LaMelo, Ant, and Wemby kind of all went interchangeably.
All right, we're back. OTC, Shea, LaMelo. Someone else say
something other than me.
Yeah, I mean, I always take Jaren Jackson Jr. because I can't get him.
That smile.
But I think Ingram is a fine play too. That's a really good matchup.
It's I like BI.
High over under. So, and he might, Jaren Jackson might fall. So, and that's the other thing.
All right, last second went to
Ingram. We'll see. I mean, he might not, but you know, that's one thing that, you know, when you're manually drafting, like you can do that a little bit easier, is that if you like a guy more, but his, you know, recent box scores or maybe his projection, sometimes those guys will fall. Like, I mean, I've seen people get late fifth round at the turn, Jaren Jackson Jr. I don't know if projections will let him go there, because I'm pretty sure the guy on the end is just going to take him anyway. But that is helpful if you're in certain draft rooms.
Makes sense. We
got Mr. Millie in the chat right now.
Yeah, Short Gamer says, just realized you guys were streaming, saw Johnny post something and thought I would max it. I just want you to know, Short Gamer, this is an extremely top-heavy contest. I would not recommend maxing it unless you have just like a really deep bankroll. I would probably try to scale it back, maybe find some of the rake-free contests. Just be smart out there. I know it's fun to have 8,000 up top, but really just want to make
bankroll sure. Bankroll management. Key.
Yeah, bankroll man for sure.
Especially as a young guy like you, don't want to blow it all in one place.
Yeah. All right. I did just notice we do have one. Has anyone seen? Is this a grinder? LeGarrette's Blunts. I don't know if I've ever seen that. I've that never draft seen name it before.
Somebody's using a grinder.
My favorite name that I've seen on Underdog, which I haven't seen him in a while, was it's not totally safe for work. It's a BBW Destroyer 420, I think it was, or something. It was like 420 or 666 or something.
Yeah.
And that was one where I was just like, please one day have them win a tournament.
Yeah.
Like
I did notice, so speaking nice. Of that, for the BBM leaderboard, Walrus Balls, I think, is back up in like the top 25. So Walrus Balls is hanging around.
Honestly, Walrus Balls is pretty tame in comparison to some of the ones that I feel like we're seeing.
Yeah, there are some pretty out of line ones deep down there. All right, we got our fifth round pick coming up. We got Shea, LaMelo, Lori, and Brandon Ingram. What do we like?
I can't quit Kawhi personally. I don't know where you guys are at on him.
Yeah, I mean, I just take Clippers and then get sad when they're in my lineup. So
yeah, that's how I feel. Like my projections love Kawhi. Other people's projections love Kawhi. He's one of my largest owned players of the day. And I'm just like, every time I'd see him get in my lineup, I'm like, ah, this one's toast. It's not going to be the one.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you can't not sprinkle him in because you're like, hey, at some point, but I don't know. I might have to adjust after a couple more games of their 30 points or whatever they get.
Yeah, he scored 33 points in like three straight games, I think.
Yeah.
So who is
so gross, man, to click if you're doing low volume.
Mm-hmm. Nick, yeah. Like cost adjusted, so it could be a 6-round pick, could be the 101 or whatever. What's your favorite pick on this slate tonight?
I really like Kyrie Irving. I love that game environment, and I think that where he goes, and he often goes right there, so you really get him paired with that top three quite a bit, and I think that's really good. I think it's fine with Luka too, but I think that he's in a good spot, and I think when you get him in the third instead of the second, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, and he's also one who offers pretty nice leverage against Luka too, if you like, especially on a team where you start Jokic or Embiid or even like SGA, having Kyrie as well feels like a pretty nice combo, and it's pretty doable.
What do we think? Final pick here.
Well, I kind of like Rudy. We didn't pick Ant, so there's a little bit of something there. If you're saying like, mm-hmm. hey, maybe Rudy has like a weird outlier game, but he also has been playing really well lately. Blocks. I mean, you can't go wrong with a guy who could get 7 blocks in a game in the 6th round.
Nice.
That's who I would have taken as well. We also passed up on Cat a couple picks past ADP, and so. I think it makes sense.
There you go. Leveraging those earlier decisions. This one's in the book. Shea, LaMelo, Laurie, Brandon Ingram, Kawhi, and Rudy Gobert. Are there any other contests that would be fun for us to rip one off in?
So there is one $4 single entry. It might be full already.
I think it's full.
But that's a good one. Shout out to Nimi really cool. And Hope. They've been doing a really good job with these kind of smaller stakes. You know, kind of dip your toes in contests.
Yeah.
But I think those all might be full.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need you robos to stop maxing the $3.20 max too and leave that for us small potatoes people.
That it is funny. So like I will say I do think it's hitting the right target audience. Like the free throw, the double up and the do you guys see that? Thumbs up or is that
just me? Kitchen just did that on our
I wasn't even doing a thumbs up. All right, maybe I was. Oh. There we go. These smaller stakes tournaments, so I feel like they're definitely softer, which is a good thing. They are targeting to be. But it's interesting to see. I kind of wouldn't have expected it. I figured they would all just be the same people playing, just maxing everything like D-gens. But they're definitely softer tournaments.
I haven't played in like most of them just because I just try to focus my time on the main ones. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm not really doing them that much, but I think they're super cool. So.
Yeah. I think they're like kind of fun thought experiments for me where I do all this kind of adjusting over time and stuff with the main tournament. And like if there's a full court press that day, which we haven't had in a couple of days, something like that, I'll be kind of, you know, massaging all my entries over time. Whereas like the buzzer beater or the free throw, I'll just set my ranks and just let it rip and pretend I'm T-box for that draft or something. It's fun to kind of see how one does versus the other. But like, it's funny because like, so last night I lost money on the main tournament, but I had like 25 of my 33 double up lineups cash. And I was like, how does this, like I was directionally in the right place, but didn't hit any of like the nuts combos. So it's a kind of a fun way to track that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What is the, I mean, are there any specific differences you do for double up strategy, like with your ranks and stuff?
There isn't for me. I think probably the optimal strategy for double ups would be to literally just draft by ADP as late as possible. I think if you just wanted to extract as much value as you could, would be to wait until there are, you know, I think that you can max 33 times. You can do 33 entries. Wait until there's 33 more entries, run the bot, enter the last 33, and just draft against ADP is probably the most efficient way to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's an interesting dynamic, right? Because then it's like, well, you know, who's the first person to register, you know, for the double up when like that late information and the efficiency is so important to just like the highest floor lineup.
Yeah, it was interesting because so basically, I mean, as you've seen with NFL as well, as they're doing these smaller contests to kind of set ADP before they roll out the big contests. When it started, it was just the double up, but now they have a small like layup line contest, which is the least efficient contest in like the history of the planet. It's pretty funny because it's like this time boxed tournament where the entries are only the first couple hours, where there's, you know, games still going on from the night before, no projections, no injury reports. And so the double up takes longer to fill, but for a while those were filling like the night before too. And at that point I was just like, I don't know, just set your ranks and auto draft and hope you're right.
Nick, you said you don't do a ton of football. Do you still dabble, or are you pretty NBA laser focused?
The only thing I do on NFL is the short game slates. I play those. Okay. And you know, I was actually had a pretty good week in those as well this past week, but that's like typically the only thing I play in the NFL, just a little bit easier to do a bunch at the same time. And it's kind of just a little bit faster for me rather than trying to figure out what I'm going to do with the giant main slate. So.
Okay. So yeah. So I take it you're not firing anything at the dog bowl trying to.
I do 10 of those every week and just throw away money, you know, just like, hey, why not? But that's about it. Yeah.
You want to get one of your 10 in right now as we wrap up here. All right. Let's hop in a dog bowl.
I've been grinding the dog bowl already this week.
Nice. Looks like
we got one more.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't think.
You can.
I think I got in.
Nick, you can draft with me if not.
Cool. Even better. That way, this one's even more less lit on fire for me. That's good.
Exactly. The amount of like friends and family is for these dog bowl drafts is always just wild.
Oh yeah.
I guess there's one. Okay, I don't recognize Desi Lal. It's the one I don't recognize in here. Otherwise, all friends and family. I'm coming pretty blind. I've done, I don't know, like two or three battle royales. I normally don't get ramped up until Wednesday here, but it's a pretty fun slate. A lot of decent games. And we're just getting a lot of star power back. Getting, you know, Stafford back will be big. We're going to get Devon Achane back, which is nice.
He's been steamed up.
Back. Is he?
Yeah, I've done 8 dog bowls already. I was in the first one. And so like in that one, he went, I don't know, like 40 or something, 30. And he, in the first couple, was going in like the 30s. And now he's up to 12.
Wow. I mean, I was looking at it cause I'm writing the newsletter for tomorrow on Fantasy Life, and was looking at his stuff. And it's like, he's had 3 games this season where he's played over 25 snaps, and he's had over 20 fantasy points in all 3 of those games. Just like a per touch efficiency monster. And I mean, there's nothing scary about the matchup. The other thing I was reading too is there was a quote from the reporters that they were basically saying he could have technically avoided IR and played with a brace over the past month, but the team was just like, we're not risking anything. So it seems to me that he's going to be like pretty damn close to 100% on Sunday.
And Mostert didn't practice yesterday.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah.
I'm not sure if he practiced today or not, but it feels important.
Nick, you have any laundry? Oh, yeah. Well, that's wish they would have done that before they gave him 19 checkdowns the other night instead of Breece Hall. Nick, do you have any fandom across any sports, or has fantasy fully liberated you?
No, I'm a Jets fan. I hate myself.
Okay, there you go.
Are you from Jersey originally? Or?
I'm from Long Island originally.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Did you go to Verdes High School or anything?
No. Yeah.
Jets. All right, let's see here, Nick. Depending on what G does here, I bet he doesn't take Diggs versus, he's too scared. Are we scared about Diggs against, your Jets? Do we go Gibbs, Etienne, Montgomery, Adams?
I mean, I just take Diggs, but you know.
Yeah, I'm good with it. Now that
he's going to retire or something, maybe, because his brother's sending out cryptic tweets. So who knows?
That's kind of like, I feel like it's kind of lame to have your brother carrying your water on Twitter like that. Yeah.
I wonder how coordinated that is, because I could also just see it being like, I don't know, who knows?
you know, there's some kind of collaboration or sharing of ideas there. Like, you know, Stefon Diggs is venting in the group chat with his brother, and then his brother's going on Twitter. And in like, I don't even think like Stefon saying to him, like, hey, put this on Twitter, but you know, he's venting and he's like, all right, I'm going to put this out there.
Yeah.
It will be, I mean, if you want to do, everyone loves doing the fucking squeaky wheel shit. You know, this Bills team just flat imploding, fires their offensive coordinator. You got everyone chirping on Twitter, playoff hopes, you know, on the line. Seems like a good spot for 15 targets for Diggs.
Yeah, I agree. I've taken Kincaid a couple times around his ADP, or if he slips at all too. Yeah. I'm pretty interested in the Bills. Like, the Jets have a good defense, but I don't. It's still the Jets. Like,
yeah,
they're not like a brick wall.
Nick, are you buying this? This, I mean, how they're handling this of just like, we're just gonna keep trotting out Zach Wilson and just cross our fingers that Aaron Rodgers comes back by mid-December. Are you buying this miraculous return?
No, it's just, it's chaos, you know, but this is like every year with the Jets, just in a different like surface, you know, it's just, it's the same kind of thing.
So James, I'm a Patriots fan. Oof. And my claim to fame is that I was at the Mark Sanchez butt fumble game.
Nice.
On Thanksgiving back forever ago. That's my like favorite Patriots Jets moment.
It's a big NFL moment in history, so that's a good one to be at.
I think I like Tank or Puka here. Do you have a favorite?
Well, Tank's looked awesome, and so CJ Stroud, which is just like blowing my mind how good he looks. So against who are they playing? The Cardinals, right? The
Cardinals, yeah, nothing scary.
That just seems like great.
Let's do it. Yeah, I do think, and I'll be curious to see where the ranks come in. I think we'll get Puka steamed up again. I mean, Stafford back. This is an awesome matchup at home versus the Seahawks, who are a bit of a pass funnel there. I'm ready to get my heart broken by these Rams guys again this week.
Same. Yeah, I just, my last, most recent dog bowl was a Stafford Cup stack. I'm going to be pretty heavy.
What round did Stafford go in that?
Last round.
Last round, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty free. I was hoping to take Puka there. So let's see. This is where it's like there's a lot of running back depth.
Yeah.
Man. I'll do this.
Andy, you said – How many dog bowls drafts did you end up getting in last week?
Too many. I had a couple sweats actually, but I got in like 40.
Okay. Not too bad with the promo.
No. I did okay, but I had a couple teams in the top 100. I mean, at one point I was in the top 3, like decently long into the day. But I didn't have enough of the kind of main stacks that you needed. I had like some Dak and Brandon Cooks. I had one team that was very live, but my running back was Saquon, and so that tanked me. That was my highest scoring team. But yeah, I had a ton of TJ Hockenson. I had a lot of Dobbs Hockenson stacks. He was like my go-to late round quarterback. So I was like pretty directionally right on a lot of stuff. I had a lot of Rashad White. And Najee Harris actually too.
Yeah.
But just didn't have anything hit the nuts.
That's the thing about this size contest with 6 rounds is like the correlation stuff. Like you can win by hitting on, you know, that right correlation, but you cannot afford like a flat out sub 5-pointer. Like that's what sucks you. Whereas like you see, you know, the guy, what was it? Even like when Yuta won the Millie a couple weeks ago, I mean, he had snowflakes from Bijan in his lineup, mm-hmm. because there's 9 spots, there's so much ground to make up, but with only 6, like you just can't afford the sub 5 in this size of a contest.
Yeah totally. And yeah, even like I had a couple lineups with like a lot of Singletary and stuff too, just like I was pretty heavy late round running backs between like Singletary, Najee and Rashad White. And so I was like, I had a lot of stuff that felt really good early on, but nothing didn't have all six hit.
Yep. I mean, this is, man, Clay. Yeah. So you went Amon-Ra, Kincaid, kind of a bad beat that Goff doesn't come back to you at 28. Like Goff going unstacked at the turn there is kind of rough.
It's a little tilting. Yeah, I didn't love that, but it is what it is. I gotta figure out what I do now, though. I might just take this value on Stroud because it's a pretty nice fall.
Please don't, Clay. Let your boys.
You want him? You want him?
No, he's not. You could take him. He's not gonna fall to us at 33.
I've seen him go pretty far. I had
Then don't, Clay.
All right, I'm going. I got you. One of us is going to Miami. I'm gonna take Ayuk.
Ayuk's still a great pick.
All right, let me draft and then pull up my completed draft because I think I saw him go as far as like I think I drafted him in the 40s in one of my teams.
So,
do we think Collins is playing this week, or is he looking like more?
That's a good question.
Week on the shelf.
I haven't seen that
because I was like, if I take Stroud, am I taking Noah Brown? Which like, God, how much longer is that guy going to go off for 185 bazillion yards?
Yeah, I think it's probably like you're having to take Schultz maybe. I mean, but honestly, like with as good as Stroud is playing, I mean, you can take stabs on like last round Robert Woods, you know, like you can, you can do shit.
Well, I'd probably just go Noah Brown.
Yeah.
Fucking AJ Brown.
Okay, I found it. It was one of my regular contests, not the dog bowl, but I got him at pick 33. It was my last round, which felt good.
Nick, that's on me. Big streamer mistake talking about how it's viable to backdoor stack CJ Stroud as we sweat getting CJ Stroud. That's on me, man.
It's all good. I'll let it slide.
Well, Josh SZW did not let it slide.
So. This Noah Brown ADP, though, I'm just going to come out and say it right now. It's fucking absurd. Wild You're not boy. Taking Noah Brown over Mike Evans, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin.
And isn't Nico Collins going to be back, too?
That's what we were just looking at. I'm kind of inclined to go Evans here. I don't mind Amari either. What do you think, Nick?
I think Evans is fine. You know, you just really need him to get one of those gigantic plays that he seems to do every game.
He's just been so good, and I actually think the Jags offense being so bad made the Niners secondary look better than it actually is. I actually have more faith in somehow Baker pushing the ball downfield than I do in Jags in this. I mean, it has to be outside of like Matt Canada's Steelers. I don't know if there's a more uninspiring, like designed offense than the Jags. It is so misused, like the talent they have there.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, I had the Ridley bags going into the season, so it's been a little painful.
Yeah.
And I have them a lot.
Kinda.
Managed.
I was kind of hoping we could get Breece Hall there coming back, Nick, maybe opposite of Diggs, but it wasn't meant to be. Let's see. So we are down, you know, for quarterback stacking. So we probably want to maybe think of a tight end in mind, too, or we're probably looking at Baker for a stack.
Oh, I meant to say, guys, a happy Jalen Warren RB one day.
Yeah. The other thing, you could always take Kmet and, you know, kind of play the maybe Fields plays. I was digging into it. It seems like pretty up in the air if he's going to play or not.
That'd be a bummer for me. I'm staking a lot of these teams on field play.
Yeah. Let's see here.
ADP is kind of wild, though. Like, I want to hop in some BRs because, like, in a 12-man like this, like, there's just some strange players that are, like, a lot higher than players that I think have some good matchups.
Do you have a Kyler Murray thing here?
Yeah, let's do that.
My cam got me going with Kyler Murray, where he's just floating, the camera's floating over his head, running around. I'm like, this guy, this is the healthiest he's ever been.
That's social media bait. Didn't what the Falcons did it? What was it like week one or week two when Bijan had that crazy catch?
It was the videos look sick though.
They do. It's like when they introduced those 4K camera shots. I think it was like a couple years ago. People were losing their mind at that.
The YouTuber cameras. Everyone's like, "Oh my god, the depth perception on these things." Like,
it's funny. Yeah, Kyler's a pretty. In hindsight, I would have said, I wish we did Breece, then Kyler, and then we could have done like a last round Michael Wilson or Rondell Moore or whatever. But that's that was my bad not thinking that through.
What are you going to do, Andy?
I don't want to do it. I don't feel good about it.
Well, don't do it.
Put my faith in Tommy DeVito.
Oh no. They're broke. Fucking hell. Oh, that one hurts.
What? You were hoping Barkley falls?
I wanted Saquon. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm doing you a favor. Just take.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. I am such a sucker for Derrick Henry at his ADP this week.
I know. It is very tempting. I don't know who to bet on more here, but I'm gonna do it. We're gonna go Garrett Wilson. Hold my nose.
I mean, I think Garrett Wilson makes a lot of sense this week. Like the Bills defense is not good.
It's a good matchup. It's a good matchup.
And like the amount of targets that Wilson gets is still just like, you know, no matter who's throwing him the ball, it's makes him pretty valid every week, I think.
Yeah, didn't the Bills like lose some more secondary people? Well, yeah, they did. Yeah, because Hamlin got in the game. Garrett Wilson, blast off week. I'm riding the Garrett Wilson train to Miami. That's what we're doing.
I like it. Dude, the season he's having is honestly incredible considering the quarterback play. I feel pretty confident he'd be a top three wide receiver on the year if Rodgers was healthy the full season. I don't think that's even that hot of a take.
Weren't you guys saying that maybe on like a Shipcast or something recently? Was something about like if he still had like A-Rod, like we were drafting him for, like
he just looks so be like fucking a 103
next year.
Yeah. Any other hidden gems for you, Nick, or guys you like clicking in these streets?
For NFL, I did one dog bowl this week and I forgot about it and I drafted two tight ends, so I was that guy who last week or whatever. So
I had that happen, I think, in one of my dog bowl drafts. It's just such a crushing feeling because it's not even like it's the worst thing in the world, but it's just like just staring at it just makes you feel sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're like, what is that? That's crazy. Two tight ends. One of them was Cole Kmet. I'm like, that's just not a thing.
No. What you need it to be is you come back and you're like, oh, nice. I took TJ Hockenson and Trey McBride. That worked out. Yeah, I guess of all the weeks to accidentally auto draft two tight ends, last week was a pretty good week to do it. George Kittle was like a slider. He would have been a guy that you could have realistically like accidentally autoed with a TJ Hockenson earlier pick, and that would have worked out very nice.
Yeah, I have an accidental two tight end. You know, it happens. Just life comes at you fast. All of a sudden, you're distracted.
What do you think about just correlating Kyler with Connor and then playing that tank bring back?
Yeah, I like that.
Connor is like, he didn't have a big game, but like the usage was there for sure. I guess what Houston's run defense has been just middling. And then let's figure out a tight end here to close this out. Nothing to correlate with Connor. Kmet, Musgrave, LT, Njoku, Chig, Conklin. Njoku probably shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Njoku or Thomas are both pretty good clicks. They both get, you know, decent targets. And at this point, last round, you might as well take the guys who are actually getting looks.
Yeah. Yeah. Thomas continues to see a decent amount of work. He's a little bit more like his production's a little bit more weighted toward the receptions than the touchdowns, it feels like. Njoku, I feel like, has a couple out. I mean, Njoku's target shares have been awesome. 8, 6, and 9. Let's roll with Njoku here.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh isn't like a scary matchup or anything either. All right. Here it is.
Do we know about Watson's ankle? Expects to play.
Okay. Expects to play. And I feel like it's the same fucking shit with this guy every week, man.
Yeah.
All right, our team, Kyler, James Conner, Tank, Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, and David Njoku. I like this. This is the matchups don't matter. Steph Diggs, Mike Evans, just draft alphas and enjoy the spoils. Andy is going to land the plane. He has a similar quarterback running back stack with Herbert and Eckler, has Kittle, DJ Moore, Barkley. I believe one time on a show, Andy said he's such a slut for DJ Moore. So that continues to hold true here. Andy, how are you going to land the plane?
I'm planning to finish it out with a Quentin Johnson for the Johnson for the double stack.
You're a better man than me.
I don't feel good about it, but I think that the Packers suck, and I'm okay to have three players on the Chargers who I think don't suck.
Clay, you're looking for a running back here.
Yeah.
I'll say right now, Jerome Ford's ADP kind of sticks out to me.
Yeah, that's who I have top of the queue.
17 attempts, and now you get Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, Hunt keeps tucking him with touchdowns, which is really tilting.
But yeah, it is tilting, but like if someone's going to break off the big run in this backfield, it's still Ford.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that Brian Robinson Jr.'s ADP is also a bit wacky here just because of the game script. I mean, like, I know a lot of his points last week were, you know, 120 receiving yards, which is not normal for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the world where the Commanders are winning this game handily and running the ball, which feels like the likely outcome, he's probably going to be the guy who's getting a lot of the carries.
Yeah, James Cook as well. I mean, I know he had like he was just dribbling the ball up and down the field last night, but he still crossed 100 yards. And kind of interesting that he's like undrafted, it seems still.
Spurious news. We just wrapped up a dog bull draft. This is the live qualifier on Underdog. They are running the promo again. It's a sweet promo. If you do 10 drafts, it means any of your drafts are that finish in the top 2,000 entries, you get your money back. So like last week I did 30 drafts. I had 14 in the top 2,000. So I got my $25 back. So what is that? Like $350 back there, which is a pretty good promo for taking shots. And then obviously there's still some of the prizes, but it's mostly all for those top three spots at the top to punch your ticket to Miami. Nick, it was great having you join us today, sharing some of your hoops secrets, tips, and tricks. I got your Twitter link down below. People can also find you in the Deposit Kingdom Discord and the Badge Bros channel.
Yeah, I'm always bopping around there, just throwing out good ideas, bad ideas.
Awesome. Clay, Andy, any final words here?
No, not too much of mine.
It was awesome. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Nick. We will have some more Underdog content as always later in the week. Friday show, Off and On the Clock, have been really enjoying that show. I'm now hesitant to say we're dialed in because I believe that now means that we're not dialed in when you say that. But our pick'em entry that we built on stream, we had a couple of them very live. One of them got that 20x. So tune in. We'll talk through all the battle royale strategy as we progress through the week. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Thanks again to Nick, for Andy, for Clay. I'm Pete. We'll see you guys next time on the club.